Happy Thanksgiving. Did everybody eat more than all of it at once? Yeah, we had a good feed at our place. We fried three turkeys and fed folk cornbread stuffing. Let's see, the requisite sweet potato casserole. We had Mrs. Schubert's rolls, which you can't mess up. And, just a whole bunch of other things. And homemade pecan pie for dessert. Why don't we just break out now and go eat somewhere? But it was a good time had by all. And before any of you ask, yes, I did get a bump on the head. I fell up some stairs, which is a change from my normal routine. Gravity is a terrible taskmistress, but I suppose it was justice. I was hanging out with a group of men from the local Disciples of Christ Church there right outside of Blue Ridge. They're closer to my way of thinking than the ones I call the Council of the Wise. Diametrically opposed, I would say, philosophically, emotionally, spiritually, and certainly intellectually. But Vicky said, as I told her that I had fallen up the stairs, it's what you get for hanging around Christians. But I have decided there are other things I should have told you, like it's my wife and my stove wood and none of your business. You should see the other fellow. And Brother Lively over there said, you remind me of a joke. A preacher walked into a bar. So now that we have dispensed with all of that and your questions have been answered, and no, I was not in a drunken rage and got into a fight with a Georgia Tech alumnus. Are there any bumblebees here today? A few? Yes, yes. Better luck next year. Actually not, but announcements. Today we're going to have the hanging of the greens following worship. And so we ask that you, hang around and help us get up our Advent and Christmas finery. It'll be a good time. A pizza lunch is going to be served. So you can't beat that. We've kind of gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. Turkey dinners down to pizza. So let's see. Advent season, the calendar is going to be in the Commons and in the midweek newsletter. So be sure to check on that. Second Sunday Fellowship will be on the 10th. That is not next Sunday. It is the following Sunday. So please make your reservations, and a good time will be had by all. And then on the 10th also, we're going to have our family Advent Festival from 2 to 4 on that day. And so there's going to be a little bit of everything, something for adults, something goodie bags for the children, and I haven't heard anything about pony rides, but you just never can tell. Are there any other announcements in our life together as church? No, there'll be no ponies, okay? The facilities committee has said they cannot come into the sanctuary or the Martin House. That was a joke. If I got to explain it, it's not funny. All right. Other announcements? Seeing none. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please stand for the call to worship. Day and night around the throne, they never stop singing.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come.
Let us worship God, and let us pray. God of power and love, you raised Jesus from death to life, resplendent in glory to rule over all creation. Free the world to rejoice in his peace, to glory in his justice, to live in his love. Unite all of humankind in Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence, praying first in silence. And together we pray, God of all the living, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have given us the promise of life, which death itself cannot destroy. In the strength of his unshakable promise, give us a new heart to live, even now as your new creation. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forevermore. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Thank you.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silenced the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Listen for God's word. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophecy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Woe, you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatted calves, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strays, you have not sought the lost. But the force and harshness, you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and scattered they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every hill, high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to search for and seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals. Since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God. I am against the shepherds, and I'll hold them accountable for my sheep and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths and say to them, and so that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them from the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture. The mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I'll make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I'll bring back the strayed, and I'll bind up the injured. I'll strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I'll feed them with my justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder, and butted all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I'll judge between sheep and sheep. I'll set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope that he has called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ and raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the ages to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things of the church, which in his body the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
if you didn't enjoy that beginning of the Christmas season, oh, you just ain't right, as the Council of the Wise would say. Thank y'all. So good to hear a bright, bright. How many of you have started decorating your houses for Christmas? Once old Saint Nick comes down the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, you know. How many of us watch that regularly? All right, I remember watching it in black and white when I was a child, and then the grandfather got a color TV, and I thought heaven had come to earth. Wow. Well, Miss Vicki decided that we were supposed to decorate the outside of the house first this year. Normally, we start in the inside and work out, which is the way I prefer to do it. But she said no, she wanted the outside decorations up first, then we would worry about the inside. And I reminded her of the scriptural warrant from Jesus about whitened sepulchres that are nice and clean on the outside but full of corruption on the inside. And it did not go well for me in the land which I live. So I'm glad we're all getting into the spirit. It is a blessed and joyous time. Having said that, our scripture, our gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. A very, very familiar passage. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer the Lord, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. We read your word, O Lord, and it brings comfort, but it also brings discomfort. It brings joy, but it also has a measure of despair. It brings us to the point of realization that we feel we sometimes stand on a razor's edge. So help us to discern properly this word from you, that we may live abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the more troubling passages in Scripture, and not one we really want to hear, is it? We want to be numbered among the sheep in this passage, but sometimes we feel more like the goat, don't we? Truth be told, none of us are purebreds. None of us are really sheep all the time. And even the best of us sheep sometimes have a little bit of the goat lurking in our shadows. That's called being human. And that is the way God made us. And so I want to unpack this sometimes troubling passage today so that we may remember that our Lord did not come to judge the world, but that through him the world might live. I remember hearing this passage when I was a Southern Baptist years and years ago. And I came out of church that day just sure there was no sense in going back. I was a hell-bound sinner. There was no hope for me. I was a bad goat. And that's all there was to it. And so for the next week, a life of sin and debauchery had a certain appeal. If you're going to go out, you might as well go out with a flame of glory. Of course, that isn't the way it happened. This is a passage which on its face is about exclusion. We don't like that term these days, but that's what it's about. It's about separating the sheep from the goats, and our society is real good about putting people into subsets of society. When I was in the second grade, I believe it was, my teacher was Mrs. Johnson, a woman who stood at least, it seemed, 8 feet tall and weighed 3,000 pounds. Mrs. Johnson was trying to teach us how to read. And so different people, according to their abilities, were placed into different groups. I'm sure this is not a pedagogical principle which is still propounded in the halls of pupildom. A little alliteration's always kind of fun. There were the bluebirds. The bluebirds were the ones who could fly through a passage and joyfully recite things and talk about how Dick and Jane went up the hill. Remember Dick and Jane? See Dick, run, run, Dick, run. Yeah. And then there was the secondary group, and it was called the Flying Squirrels. They weren't quite as nimble with reading as the bluebirds were. They were a little slower, but they still enthusiastically greeted the assignments of the day. And then there was the third group, the elephants. I was an elephant. Just a minor touch of dyslexia held me back from soaring with the bluebirds. I have despised elephants ever since. The Alabama-Auburn game left me in tears last night. That stupid elephant mascot with his trunk hanging down. Well, I digress. So, exclusion has always been a part of our society. One group kind of lords it over the others, and everybody thinks they are God's gift to humanity. That's just the way we're made. Birds of a feather do indeed flock together. But this passage I want to submit to you is not necessarily about exclusion. Let's face it. Sheep and goats are two pretty much diametrically opposed critters. If you've ever dealt with goats, and I'm sad to say I have, they are hard-headed, they are willful, and there is nothing on God's green earth that smells quite as bad as a billy. I won't get into the details of why they smell that bad. Just imagine the worst case scenario, and there you are. But now sheep don't have a whole lot going for them either. And is it Andrew Sedaris? He wrote the book, Me Talk Pretty One Day. Was that him? I can't remember his first name. Anyway, he had an article in the New Yorker this past week talking about rams. He and his partner in England grow sheep, and he talks about rams, and he talks about them in very uncomplimentary terms, that rams are probably worse than any goat you've ever run into in terms of being hard-headed and willful and independent and given to getting their own way no matter what. So you see, sheep aren't all that great either. So when we're compared to sheep and goats, let's remember, we are not at the top of the evolutionary ladder here. So, going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, lest we too quickly identify ourselves with the sheep, let me employ the technique of Jeff Foxworthy. If you've ever turned your back on a person needing money, you may be a goat. If you've ever put a brass button instead of money into the collection plate, you might be a goat. If you have ever gone to the other side of the street to avoid talking to somebody whom you really don't like, you may be a goat. If you've ever gotten too much change at the store and decided it was going to be too much trouble to tell the attendant about that, goatdom is probably part of you. If you have ever met the day with a grumpy attitude and a sense of despair, goatdom is in your DNA. If you have ever said, God, deliver me from this situation, knowing full well that God has got you there for a reason, yeah, you smell like a goat. Let's face it, we're part of the yin and the yang. We're all goats and sheep together. And I want to tell you something today, lest you feel too uncomfortable at this point. Being a hybrid is okay, because we all are. And this bit about judgment in this passage, I want us to think about that for a moment. Jesus, in every instance in the scriptures, talks about restoration. Jesus talks about redemption. Jesus lives a life of greeting goats and bringing them into the fold. You know, the ones that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests, the ones that they wouldn't entertain. No, Jesus is a great goat herd. And guess what? I am convinced that that's really what this passage is about. And I know you're going to be disturbed by the image of fire here, that everlasting fire. But let me tell you, there's fire for all of us. And the fire of God is a redemptive, refining fire. It burns away what is the worst, and it brings out what is the purest. And that refining fire, I'm going to tell you something now. That's called life. That's called living. That's called being a human being. We go through life and we slowly and sometimes painfully, we have our rough edges rubbed off. And then there are some people like me who've had the process of smoothing going on for so long that I'm beginning to feel the rough edges coming out again. Vicki calls that cantankerousness. It's the old goat still kicking in there. But you know what? I don't think this passage needs to cause us to worry that much. Sometimes I think that our gospel writer today, I think he had bad days too. I think he had goat goadings from time to time and felt like, you know, people need to get their acts together. And so I'm going to take these images and I'm going to twist them a little bit the way I think they should be. We all do that. Have you ever played the telephone game where one person in a line gives a message to the next person and it goes to the next and the next and the next and the next and the next? And then you ask, what was the message? And it sounds nothing like the original intent. I'm not decrying the authority of Scripture in the least. I'm recognizing that the gospel writers and those who came after and wrote and rewrote and rewrote the revealed word, well, they're people just like you and me. Folks is folks. And I want to hold that up, not as fact, but as possibility. Because in the broader context of Scripture, God is not about the business of destroying his creation. God is about the business of restoring creation, renewing it, refurbishing it, refinishing it. When I was in seminary, had to find a way to make a few extra shekels because being a student just doesn't pay much. So I took up refinishing furniture. Miss Vicki and I would go to these flea markets and we would buy up pieces that looked like they might have at least a little potential in them. And we'd bring them back to our apartment, and there I would get cans of strippies and steel wool and stains and varnishes. And it was amazing how, with a few hours of work, you could bring out the glory of an old piece of furniture. And it would shine there, perhaps close to its original intention. And then I could turn around and sell it for a little bit of a profit. It was not an easy life, but there was a gospel lesson there. God takes us when we're kind of rough and broken and tarnished, and God puts us through this process called life. And as we mature, he rubs us and removes the old tarnish and rebuilds the broken pieces. And in the end, hopefully by the time we have assumed room temperature, our souls will have been burnished to the point of shining like the sun. That's my hope anyway. So I look at this passage and I say to myself, am I a sheep or am I a goat? And the word is I am both. Old goatdom still kicks around inside of me as it does in all of us. But the sheep side of me seems to be winning out. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily a wonderful thing, because you know what? I think God loves sheep and goats the same. And God takes our sheepdom and amplifies it, and our goatdom and refines it to the point where we once again, finally and forever, fit into the scheme of the kingdom of God. And that is a joyous message in the midst of this talk about everlasting fire and eternal damnation. I just don't have time to worry about that, because I am a child, a sheep, a goat of God. So, ha ha, hallelujah. Let us live in celebration, because we know Christ is indeed King and he loves all his livestock. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you that you have called us to be yours. We confess, O Lord, that on the road upon which we have traveled, we have picked up dirt and mud and sticks and perhaps stones. We're a bit worn out and world weary, but we're yours. And we know that you will amplify the good and refine the bad, according to your own will and your loving purpose. So fill us, we pray, with that hope and joy which is ours on this day when we celebrate the reign of Christ and the victory of the Lamb. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. take that one off the list. You know, you got to try these things from time to time, but okay. Our affirmation of faith today is the Apostles. It's the Nicene Creed, I'm sorry. Children of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. It has been, O Lord, a week of festival fullness, a time to be with family and with friends and to celebrate the bounty of your providence. We have watched, O Lord, however, that some go hungry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are called, O Lord, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit the sick and the imprisoned. And sometimes, Lord, we are better at that than at others. It is a mark of our humanity, of our frailty. Lord, in your mercy, stir us up, we pray. And as we go into the season of Advent, may our disciplines of devotion include ministering to the least, the lost, and the lonely. May we find ourselves as children of the kingdom, reaching out to others and bringing them to the fold with food, with drink, with hospitality. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our world. We thank you for momentary pauses in warfare. We thank you for hostages being exchanged. We thank you for glimmers of hope across the horizon. And yet we know that hostilities may resume at any moment in the Middle East, and hostilities may continue in Eastern Europe. So we pray, send your angels of peace to speak to leaders and commanders, and grant that their whisperings may bring about a cessation of hostility. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, that you are a God who is always present, calling us to be about the business of your kingdom. Open our ears, our hearts, and our hands, and grant that we may obediently follow your call. These and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. John, you are such a blessing. I just want you to know that. I felt like I needed my hat and my cane and do a little tap dance, but then I'd have another bump on my head. So, oh, let's pray a prayer of thanksgiving, shall we? We are grateful, O Lord, that you give us the resources we need to live each and every day. We give you thanks that you are a provident God and that you enable us not only to receive these blessings, but to share them. And so, O Lord, bless the gifts and the givers. Multiply the gifts by your grace that your kingdom may be expanded and that our hearts may be strengthened in the giving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, two out of three isn't bad. Go forth from this place in peace to celebrate the reign of Christ in your life each day, knowing that his reign never ends. It had no beginning and it shall have no finish. Remember to live your life knowing that God is making you new each and every day, no matter whether you identify as a sheep or as a goat. God loves you and keeps you always. Rejoice. In the name of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit which is sufficient for us all. Amen.